in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today, and we're looking at the experience of evangelization.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to read from Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're still Jewish. They're going into the temple to pray. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering into the temple. He has been there for years with his cup begging money. This is his job at the Beautiful Gate. Anyone who goes into the Beautiful Gate to the temple knows this man. They know him. He's been there for years. He cannot walk. They know him, and they're going to see a miracle take place in him. Peter looked intently at him, and so did John. And they said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them, money. But Peter said, "I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This man had a job to sit at the Beautiful Gate asking for shekels. And you know what happened? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he was healed. Everybody knows him who went through the Beautiful Gate. Now they're seeing him walking and leaping and praising God. You see, he becomes the object to promote evangelization. How has this man regained his strength that he's walking and praising and leaping and praising God? How? In the name of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this man walks, jumps, leaps, and praises God.
When I read this story, I can't help but thinking about over 2,000 years later at the Days of Glory conference a couple months back, when Heather came in the wheelchair and she crawled to Father and I for prayer. And we prayed that Jesus would heal her. And she fell on the ground. And when I pulled her up, she said, "I can stand." And I said, "We're walking." Then she said, "I can walk." Then she began to run. Then she began to jump up and down and ran around the hotel. We said, "Someone get her a microphone." And she started proclaiming, "Jesus healed me. I am healed." And I said, "We're not going back to the wheelchair." She said, "We don't need the wheelchair. I donated it to the church." And she left it behind. And God has completely healed her. And then she walked into the church she worked in the next day. She asked a priest, she came running in and said, "Do you notice anything different about me?" And she witnessed to the whole church. Why does God do signs and wonders? He does signs to make people wonder. He does signs to make people wonder. Miracles aren't for the miracles alone, and it's not only just for that person. It's for evangelization. It's so that the kingdom of God can be displayed. You see, Jesus came not to install a church, but to install a kingdom. And in that kingdom, there is power. There is dominion. There is restoration of what Adam lost. When Peter prayed, he prayed a command prayer. It was Jesus praying through him. Get up and walk. It was a command. But that was Jesus commanding healing in the spiritual realm through Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so often I do, you know, we do a lot of ministry to the homeless and the poor. And there's times where I give money, but usually God doesn't send me out there to give lots of money because I don't have it. But I use this a lot. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have is even better for you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the power of God. Receive Jesus's love. You see, there is nothing more exciting upon this earth than being filled with the power of God, which is in you if you have the Holy Spirit, and going out and releasing the kingdom of God, being a true disciple for the Lord, being a true evangelism. See, if we're not displaying God's power, we're empty in a sense. If we're not displaying God's power, there's part of us that are empty. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're brimming over, then we're just releasing what's inside of us. People are just catching what we have. Holiness is not taught, it is caught. I went and I caught it from Father Tom. And now when I go out, people just catch it from me. And when you receive it, people catch it from you. The kingdom of God is not about, it's not about words, it's about power. Paul said, "I didn't come in wise and persuasive words, but in a demonstration of God's power." The kingdom of God needs to be demonstrated. People are looking for what is real. And when you release the Holy Spirit upon people, we are spirit, soul, and body. Maybe people always want the physical healing, and that's a miracle. But it starts with the spirit being reborn and the Holy Spirit filling them. Then their soul is healed. And as they receive healing in the soul, it bleeds into their body. But Jesus Christ is an experience. God is spirit, and we experience God in spirit and in truth. So this is a story. It's an archetype of what Jesus left Peter, what Jesus left you, and what we are called to do and we are called to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. You are called to be supernatural.
This miracle happened after the Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. This all happened after Pentecost. And we have received Pentecost.
You have.
We are living in the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit brings healing to people in mind, body, and soul. We are living in the day of Pentecost. Do you know that today? That you have the same Spirit that Peter and John has. You have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living in you. Do you know that today? Do you go out and do wonderful things for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, "I'm not a priest." You don't have to be a priest. You have to be a believer, believing in God. Today a woman came to us riddled with cancer, and we prayed with her, cursing the cancer and asking the Lord to give her health. This is what happened today. People need to be healed. People need to see. The reason why she came is because many years ago, I was praying with the baby, and the baby, was sick. And I said, what's wrong with the baby? They said something with her, whatever. And I knew what it was. And I said, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, be healed. And you know what? The baby's infection cleared up, and she was healed. And as a result of that miracle, they sent this woman, Maria, to us to pray for her for healing, because Jesus healed that little baby of that infection. What was told, the doctors, they didn't believe it. They gave the baby another CAT scan. And when the CAT scan was taken place, they saw that the baby was completely healed. The doctors went about the hospital saying, this is my miracle baby. They think they did it. They didn't do it. I didn't do it. Jesus did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's who did it.
So when we pray, you know, our words command the spiritual realm. They command angels. But a little secret, we have an inner eye. We have eyes of our heart. So we want to visualize that person being healed. If we're praying for someone to be healed, we want to visualize and see them being healed. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. On the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. So we already have victory in our life. The game is already rigged. That's the whole thing. Your life is already rigged. You already have victory. You just need to walk in it. And a lot of times, Jesus is saying, if you can see it, you can receive it. If you can see it, you can release it. If you can see it, it can happen. So there's a realm of thoughts, which is the God realm. There's a realm of speaking, which speaks into the spiritual realm. We'll need to get into it. But see, we got to be able to see and have faith to release what God wants to release and do what he wants to do. Power needs to be displayed. Jesus didn't die for a powerless gospel. Without power, it's just words. It's just philosophical arguments. You know, I was in Vegas and we were getting this oxygen bar, and the lady came up to me, was doing it. She's like, I'm a Christian witch. And I just was laughing. I was like, all right, well, I got maybe 5 minutes with her. She's telling me the Bible, you know, anyone can practice. I used to be Catholic. Anyone can practice Christianity, whatever suits them best. And she had all these witchcraft tattoos and everything. And the Bible, just a book of spells. And I just let her talk. But then I explained to her, no. But I said, listen, and I began to prophesy over her. And I began to see to the spirit what her destiny was, what God has called her to. And I didn't really need to tell her what was wrong, but then I said, come here, let me pray for you. We're gonna pray the Holy Spirit baptizes you in fire. And we did that. We did the prayer of salvation. We had to repent for the witchcraft. And then she got filled by the Holy Spirit. She got completely frozen. My friend Jake is like, what's happened to her? She couldn't move. She was overwhelmed by the fire and the power of God. She was overwhelmed. See, when you preach the gospel, signs are supposed to follow. Power is supposed to follow, because that makes it evident that God is true. What you are saying is supported by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have power behind our words. We need to have signs that follow our preaching. But how do we do that? First, we need to be open to the Spirit, because we can release what we have received. We got to be open and willing to give our lives to the Holy Spirit. Holiness is ownership. That's what holiness is. Not how much you pray. It's not how long you kneel. How much does God own you? You know? And when God has ownership of our lives, then he begins to think in our thinking, because our thoughts are surrendered to him. The gift of prophecy comes on our life. When we ask the Holy Spirit to come and we ask Jesus to baptize someone, it happens. And it's just all about doing the will of God. You know, in my life, I do many, many things on many different days. But I say this, I try to only do one thing every second of every day. That's it. And it's the will of God. Maybe the will of God for me would be adoration sometime. Maybe it would be praying for someone. Maybe it would be cleaning my room or watching TV. But I just live, we want to try to live second by second in divine union with God, just doing the will of God, being grateful and seeing God in every moment and watching God move. And when we live in the will of God, then we have fire upon our lives.
Does God control your life today? Does Jesus control you? Have you surrendered to him today? Have you given him permission to act in your life? I ask you these questions because they're very important questions. Who do you belong to today? You belong to Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and who rose from the dead. You belong to Jesus Christ, who outpoured on you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You belong to Jesus Christ, the Lord, God, man, and God. God and man, that's who you belong to. And you need to be proud of it. Peter and John were proud to say, we don't have silver, we don't have gold, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And that's exactly what happened. And this man becomes the object of evangelization because he had been seen by hundreds of people going through the beautiful gate. He had been seen as a cripple going through the beautiful gate. He had received alms from so many people, but now he's got to go to work because he's been healed by the power of God. Do you know what we're talking about today? Or is this a mystery to you? We have the wonders of God, and we need to wonder how God wants to work in people's lives, how God wants to do something for each person. Today we prayed for a woman riddled with cancer, so we cursed the cancer in Jesus' name. I prayed for a nun in Spain who was riddled with cancer, and God healed her from Quincy. There is no room between us and Spain in the spirit. We're one. Do you know that today? God is so wonderful, and he has poured out his spirit upon all flesh, that his sons and his daughters would prophesy, that his old men will dream dreams, and the young men have visions. Do you know that today, that you have been touched by the power of God, and that you can say to people, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Stand up without cancer. Be healed now in Jesus' name by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of righteous Abel.
God has given you command, authority, dominion. We need to understand who we are in the spiritual realm. We need to understand what we are created to be and who we are commanded to display, Jesus. I remember, you know, everyone's looking for truth. I remember in Salem a couple years ago, when there was one of my friend, Anneli's friend, her cousin came, and she needed prayer. And we were downtown, and they had all the witch tours going on and all the occult and the New Age things. And we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I commanded every demon to leave her and for the release of the power of God and the Holy Spirit upon her life. And I remember when I laid hands on her, the Holy Spirit filled her so much that she just fell on the ground and she was overwhelmed by the Spirit. And now everyone, God has wisdom and he's strategic in what he does, because there was hundreds of people on the tour looking for the supernatural and the occult. And they saw her go and they said, what's wrong with her? Is she okay? Call her husband. I said, no, Jesus is healing her. Angels are filling her. This is the power of God upon her life. And when she stood up, she was glowing. She was reborn in the spirit. And I said, that is Jesus. Jesus is as real today as he was 2,000 years ago. He is alive. He is the truth. He is the way. And he wants to encounter everyone. Yesterday was Divine Mercy Sunday, and at the Divine Mercy Shrine in Salem, the Cardinal, he came and did Mass. But we did the Stations of the Cross through the downtown, where there's, you know, all the psychic and the occult and the witchcraft shops and all that stuff. And they were carrying maybe a 30-foot cross and speaking the Stations of the Cross, which, if anyone doesn't know, it's Jesus's the 14 steps of when he was on the cross on the speaker. But anyways, it was changing the whole atmosphere of the city. And, you know, people were intrigued. At one point, there was a kind of man, he was a little deranged, and he started kind of screaming at the priest and everything. Now, Father Robert's a black belt. He didn't need any of my help. But I stepped in, and I shook this man's hand. I looked him in the eyes. And I said, listen, Jesus has a plan, and he loves you. But the thing is, we have a command. You have a command about you as in a thought, as a believer, that even the like demonic in people, it needs to bow to the Jesus Christ in you, and it bows to the love. So as I shook his hand and I said, brother, God loves you so much. What's your name? And pretty soon he went from going like a madman to me laying hands and praying for him and him receiving the Holy Spirit. You see, evangelization is about the power of God within you. We don't need to worry about being possessed or oppressed by the devil when we're possessed by Jesus Christ, when we're filled by the power of God, when our life is laid down to God. The whole thing is, you need to know who you are in Christ. The devil's biggest fear is that you realize what your inheritance is, who you are in the Spirit, that you are more than a conqueror, that you have all the power of God residing within you through the Holy Spirit, that nothing can separate you from God, that on the cross, Jesus Christ, he said, it is finished, and you have victory, and the game is rigged. And if you walk forward in faith, Jesus goes ahead of you and he fights your battle. Jesus puts the power of God within you. But we need to die to ourselves before we can live for Jesus Christ.
Die to ourselves and surrender to Jesus Christ. To surrender. Lord, I surrender to you this day. Take care of everything. Lord, I surrender to you this day. Take care of everything. Lord, I surrender to you today. Take care of everything. It's all about surrender. It's all about giving him permission over your life. It's all about the power of God. You say, but I've never seen the power of God. Well, come on Wednesday night at 7:00 and you'll start to witness the power of God, what God knows and what God wants to do. That's not the only place you can witness it, but it is one place. And you know, Jesus is the Lord, and he is filled with the glory of God, and he shares the power of God with those people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. He shares that. I have seen people healed, delivered in many ways, not always physically. I remember a woman that I was ministering to way before I became a priest. And she had this black experience over her eyes. It was like a black cloth. And we prayed in the name of Jesus that in her life that she would feel the power and presence of God. And that black covering literally came off, and the light of God was poured into her, and she became a new creation. I met her months and months later. She said, what happened that day? I became new. I said, Jesus Christ did a miracle for you. Jesus Christ showed you how much he loved you. Jesus Christ shed his light into your darkness, and you became changed by the grace of God.
Everyone's looking for the real thing. Today's the day of the eclipse. People are going absolutely bananas for the eclipse. The eclipse is cool, but they're looking for the sign and the wonder. Jesus created you to be the sign and the wonder, to display the kingdom of God, to make Jesus Christ real in people, to not be about words, but about power. Yesterday, I called someone in California. They were a psychologist with the PhD, and they knew every fact and everything you could know. I said, okay, but now it's time to know Jesus. And over the phone, we prayed, and I released the power of God. Everything in his life changed. He repented for his sins. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with Father Tom. It's about one thing and one thing only, Jesus. But God has chosen to use vessels, and there is nothing better than being the vessel of Jesus Christ. Today, get in the game. Get in the game and become a vessel for Jesus Christ. Watch how he moves through you.
Watch him do miracles. Watch him do wonders. Watch him touch people and change their lives. Yes, watch him as you step out in faith. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.